So I just drank 32 ounces of coffee.
Why?
Cause I've been working all day. I need some energy.
Is it like 5:30 where you're at right now?
Yeah, that's okay. I don't need to sleep. After we finish here, I need to work on a video. You know, it's whatever. Too much stuff to do, not enough time to do it in. Literally not enough time in the day.
Okay. All right. I hope you're okay.
I'm fine. Okay. But we do need to start off this podcast, like every good podcast starts off, with some follow-up.
Follow-up.
The most important follow-up is totally against me. I don't know why I thought in the last episode toilets were made out of ceramic. They are totally not. If you have a toilet that's made out of ceramic, feel free to get in contact with me. I have a small YouTube channel that's more than welcome. Like, I'm welcoming finance backers. Like, because if you have a toilet made of ceramic, you are well off. It's not ceramic.
What is it? I generally don't know what this is.
Oh, my God. I just forgot, honestly. Porcelain. That's what it is. Porcelain. It's made out of porcelain.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
the
anyway,
porcelain throne. That makes sense.
Yeah, porcelain, okay. Not ceramic. So, anyways, if you have a toilet made out of ceramic, woo, look at you. But the other thing that kind of rolls into that is I said, you know, maybe in October, after, you know, if the new iPad Pros come out in October or announced in October or not, I might buy the ceramic Apple Watch.
Which I still think is a ridiculous... Wait. Did you actually buy a ceramic Apple Watch?
I didn't buy the ceramic Apple Watch.
But you got an Apple Watch.
I did get an Apple Watch. I looked at the price of the ceramic one, and it's just... Oh, it's just too much. Because I figure you replace an Apple Watch, like, every 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm, and it's just... That's way too much money for something you're replacing that quickly. And yes, I realize people just bought iPhones, but I didn't have to pay for mine, so whatever. we talked about it in the last episode. My day job bought it. But no, I got the Space Gray Aluminum Series 5 Apple Watch. I am really liking it. I basically turned off all notifications but activity and like health notifications. Those are the only ones, like that and like water minder, basically stuff that deals with health. That is the only notifications that go to my Apple Watch.
Okay.
Everything else just goes to my phone. I've really been enjoying it. My biggest reasoning for getting this is I do have a slight confession. I was kind of like hemming and hawing about the Apple Watch on the last episode, but I was totally wearing it. Like after I read Matt Birchler's watchOS review, I like charged up my Series 3 and started wearing it again just to see if I could, you know, get used to it. But one thing that I noticed is when I wasn't wearing my Apple Watch, I wasn't exercising. And since I wasn't exercising, I've talked before, I'm diabetic. I should always be exercising. I need to, you know, stay in shape. This, you know, it took a lot of work to get this body. that was a joke. You're supposed to laugh there. You're supposed to laugh there.
Hold on. I'll record it and then we'll put it in post.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll edit around that. But no, I wasn't exercising as much, and I'm going to talk a little bit later, but I was having some really bad anxiety, too. And when I exercise and stuff, like that really seems to help. I'm going to talk about that more in just a second. But I noticed I wasn't doing as much when I wasn't wearing my watch because I didn't have the activity deal to kind of push me. I'm somebody that needs goals. I need something that I can put a fence post in the ground and run towards. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, to be honest, but that's just the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, since I've gotten the Series 5, I've been exercising more. I've been healthier. I've just been, you know, a little more focused on my health. And I took out all the stuff that was causing anxiety with the Apple Watch. I got rid of it. Plus, it has the always-on watch face. So that's been great.
Okay, so when you say that you took all the stuff that, like, gives you anxiety, like, isn't that everything? Like, isn't, like, the whole reason you stopped using the watch is because of the anxiety? Or
it was a couple of things. It was, I was sick of the design. I was sick of having a computer on my wrist. I just didn't like the way it looked. But that was the Series 3. The Series 4 and the Series 5 got the redesign and stuff, and it actually looks significantly better.
Okay.
It's got that edge-to-edge screen, the rounded corners. It just looks better. I love the California face.
Okay.
I also love that it's always on. Like that fixes another issue. I hated looking down at my watch and it just being a black screen that was off. I thought that was dumb. Now that it has the always on face and I could just look down and I could see the time, I could see my activity stuff, I could see the date. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. anything, like the other thing that was causing anxiety for me, I had a few other things going on, and I'll talk about that stuff in a second. But like,
okay,
that the Apple Watch wasn't the thing that was causing anxiety, but it wasn't helping. It was definitely harming. It was the amount of messages and notifications and everything that I had going to it, which is causing me to be like stressed out because it was pulling my attention away from what I was working on, and I was focusing on that. And it was just, so I pared all that down. Messages don't go to my Apple Watch. I've never had email go to my, basically any sort of communications or anything that you'd think, oh, this is what the Apple Watch should go to the Apple Watch. I don't have it go there. Only health stuff goes to the,
okay.
Yeah. So,
it's not necessarily a communicator like everyone like kind of likes to think the Apple Watch is. It's more of a utility.
Yeah,
mine which is like what a watch really should be if you think about it.
100%. If I can break down what I use my watch for really quick, it is for health stuff primarily. 100%. When I go for runs and stuff, I don't take my phone because it's too easy for me to get distracted. So I pair my AirPods to it and listen to a podcast. So that's why, like, if you're thinking, well, why didn't he just get a Fitbit? That's reason number one. When outside of like the health stuff, I also use it for things, which is not on the watch face. Like, it's super important. I don't want to always see like a badge number of stuff done, but I have things in the dock, so I can pull that up and like check off stuff or check on my task list for the day. And then I also have drafts, so I can quickly add notes to drafts in there as well.
Do you actually put notes from drafts on your watch? How do you capture stuff?
No, it's the dictation feature. So like if you pull up drafts on your watch, there's the dictation option, and you just hit the microphone and talk into it. So like if I have an idea or something, especially when I'm out running, I get a lot of ideas when I'm running. I just bring up the drafts app, hit the microphone and talk into it.
All right.
Yeah. So that's basically those three things are how I use my watch, and that's all I want to use my watch for. Health and fitness with podcasts, things, and drafts. Like, that's what I use my watch for. And I got the Series 5 over all the other ones because of the always-on watch face. That's a big deal to me.
Okay. I am looking forward to kind of hearing more about, like, how the Apple Watch kind of goes as time goes on. But so long as it's not, like, bringing back kind of the old monsters that it brought with you last time you had the Apple Watch, then... I'm cool. I mean, I give you approval, Chris, is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you. Yeah, like I was saying, it wasn't the source of all my anxiety. I think I played it out to be in that episode that we talked about.
It definitely doesn't help. That's
the thing. It was not helping. In fact, it was adding to my anxiety, but it wasn't the cause.
Sure.
Speaking of the cause, I guess we have to talk about my iPad OS video.
Which I justify the anxiety inside of your life, but like, boy, is this video good, Chris. Like,
thank you.
Like, legitimately, like, this video is fantastic. It's been doing like really well. Last I checked, it's gotten a decent amount of views. I don't know what the number is like specifically, but like, it's done really well.
It crossed 400,000 views today.
Wow.
That's Monday, September 30th. So a week and a couple of days.
I believe
this is my fastest growing video ever, but I didn't really compare and contrast. It's definitely my best month on YouTube ever. I don't think I told you my goal, but my original goal was, okay, worst case scenario, just do 20,000 views. If you can just do 20,000 views, I won't, you know, shut down my YouTube channel.
And the reason that number is 20 is because that's basically how many subscribers that you have. Like, if everyone in your subscriber list or like...
Yeah, it was about 26,000 before I published this video was my right around... it was something like that. It was right around 26,000. And I was like, okay, so if I did 20,000, that would be fine. My real goal, basically, hey, I'll be super happy, was 100,000 views, which seems like a lot. I've had a few videos get up there. I've had a few videos get up there rather quickly. But you know, I don't ever expect a video to do that.
Right.
But I was kind of like, that was kind of my goal. Like, just considering the amount of time I put in this video and stuff like that, which was a lot of stress. It's funny, the week it went live, I was looking at Toggle and I spent 50 hours were just dedicated to this video. So, like, I was probably well close to, like, 200 hours into this video or something. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Anyways, so it did really well. I'm really happy with it. I've gotten a lot of great feedback from it. I've gotten some really interesting comments from it, but most of it very positive, very helpful, very, very supportive. I appreciate everyone that's shared it, liked it, subscribed from it, commented, you know, all the YouTube-y stuff. It pushed my subscriber count over 30,000. I believe I'm close to 32,000 now. I'm somewhere right around there. Pushed like my overall total like all time views together over 4 million. So that was really cool. Wow. It was really funny. So my birthday was yesterday, and last year I had hit just 1 million views total right before my birthday, and then this year I hit 4 million. So it was kind of cool to see like the growth.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, by the way. Oh, I don't think I said happy birthday.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not a big birthday person.
Okay.
But that being said, if you do a 30 under 30 list, you now have 364 days at the time of recording to get me on your 30 under 30 list. So, oh, Forbes, I'm looking at you.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. But seriously, if you want to put me on your 30 under 30 list, that's totally okay with me. I don't know why I want to be on one of those, but I just want to be on one of those. Okay. I don't know why. I just want to be on one. I just want to be included.
Sure. Okay. So we talked a lot last episode about you know, your workflow when it comes to making videos and stuff like that. And
yes.
And like with this video now being out, you know, like I mean, I don't mean to be that person, but like what's next for you? Like I know that you mentioned before that you've got some stuff coming, but like I'm curious to kind of see like how you react to something like something that has been like this successful. Like how do you prepare for like the next thing?
So, I mean, I don't think I'll have another video this successful until maybe the next iPad Pros come out. But
sure.
I will tease a couple of videos I'm working on. I will have a review about the Bridge keyboard out and kind of just my thoughts on it. I know it's been out for a little while, but people are still asking for it. Bridge sent me one. And then in the Bridge video, if you stay to the very end, should I just say what it is? You know what it is. Should I say or just like make them watch that video?
Why not? Yeah, why don't you say it?
Okay, all right. I'm going to be doing a desk setup video, but this desk setup video is a little different than like a normal iPad desk setup. And I think that's all I'm going to say. You can watch the Bridge video to see like a short clip of it, but like it's pretty intense. I think I threw everything in the kitchen sink at it. So that's going to be pretty fun. I'm going up to Yosemite in a couple of weeks to shoot some videos up there. One thing that I've been doing a lot about lately is now that I have my fancy camera, I've been wanting to go film outside more. I kind of got my studio in a happy spot and I'm happy with it, but like filming every single video in it just kind of gets old after a while. So I've been wanting to go outside more, and like videos with me talking to the camera, those are perfect for that. So I want to go up to Yosemite and shoot some stuff up there.
I'm curious to see how your outside setup kind of goes, especially with like audio wise, because I'm curious to see how that sounds.
I bought the Rode VideoMic Pro Plus, the super fancy one.
Okay.
So like all the big time vloggers use that one, so it should be fine. We'll see. We'll find out.
All right.
But we did have a little bit of we did have a question about my iPad OS video, and I wasn't sure at the time when we recorded it whether I was going to go with music or not. And I opted for going for music, and I ended up getting all my music from a place called Epidemic Sounds. It's like all the big YouTubers use this one now. Like they're the it factor for all the music stuff on the YouTubes.
Okay,
it's probably the first music service I'm actually happy with. And they have a really good deal for, like, if you're just a person, like a single person, not a big business or anything like that. It's just $15 a month, unlimited use. It's a great deal. I'm super happy with it. Like, it's a great service, great music, huge library. Really happy with it. And I actually went, like, deep into it, and that every section got its own music track.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I spent a ton of time editing it so that the flow would just feel pretty natural.
Okay, then I don't feel bad saying I didn't notice it, because it seemed like that was intentional.
No, that was my whole goal, is that you wouldn't notice it. I didn't want it to be like this hard cut where you go from like this super soft song to this like electronic, like punch you in the face song kind of thing. Like it was meant to be, it was meant to like, so you don't notice it, but like for those that do notice it, I don't think actually anyone's noticed it. And if they have noticed it, they didn't say anything. So
sure.
But I'm happy with the way it turned out.
I am too. I think you did a really good job with it.
I do want to talk about what this video did to me. And a lot of it has to do with some other personal stuff that I'm not going to get into. But like, doing this video, and I didn't really talk about it this last episode because I was still in the middle of making this one, but it caused a lot of anxiety for me. Like, so much to the point that there were days I couldn't get off the couch. I just sat on the couch, and I just couldn't physically move.
Jeez.
And it was bad because I pushed myself too far. One thing I don't talk a lot about is I still have a day job. So I still have a full-time day job while I was doing this video that took me, I don't know, a ton of time, and it broke me. So one thing that I am trying to be better about is not push myself as much, like give myself breaks. I have a few videos I'm working on right now, but after that I'm gonna take like a week off and just play video games and stuff like that. But
okay,
yeah, it got bad. So, you know, I went and talked to my doctor, and you know, I'm trying to change up a lot of stuff. You know, I started eating unhealthy again. I stopped exercising for a little while because I was like, okay, I need to get this video done. So every like available moment in my life got devoted to this video. Technically, it paid off, I guess, but at the same time, sanity wise, it did not.
Right.
So, I don't know where I'm going with this, to be honest. But other than just take care of yourself, if you feel anxiety, depression, reach out to somebody, talk to somebody, especially go see a doctor. You know, I got my diet back to a good, normal, like steady thing, except for yesterday. I had birthday cake yesterday. Oh, I love birthday cake. It's the best. It's Costco cake. Costco cake's the best.
Apparently Costco makes like great food, because like not only is the cake good, I've heard the hot dogs are great.
They got rid of the Polish dog. I'm not happy about that. That's BS right there.
We do not have time to talk about hot dogs.
I honestly could do a whole podcast episode about Costco food. Like I could really do it.
I've never been to Costco, so if anyone that has been to Costco that wants to record an episode of a podcast talking about Costco food,
hit me
up. Go ahead and mention Chris Lawley on Twitter at Chris_Lawley.
I could do like a whole segment on the muffins. Anyways, moving on. Actually, I don't remember where I was going with that.
So anxiety is what you're talking about.
Anxiety. So anyways, I've got my diet back on track. I'm exercising again. I talked to my doctor. I'm on some medication now and stuff like that. And everything's kind of starting to even out. And I feel like myself again is basically what I'm getting at. So my point is, don't push yourself because you feel like you have to be, you know, at a certain goal. Like you have to, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I agree for sure. Like, so my question for you is like, what are some things that you're doing to kind of combat that? Like next time that you do decide to make a big video like this that, you know, takes hundreds of hours to make, like what is your plan next time? Like, have you thought about that yet? Or Have you thought that through?
Yes. I'm going to give myself more time. My thought is, so my big mistake this year was I took a week off for WWDC and then like, it just wasn't even able to go. So that kind of sucked because stuff came up. So instead of taking time off for WWDC, maybe I'll take a day or two off and actually go up for a day or two. But I'm going to take a week off that before Labor Day weekend, the next time like iPad OS comes around, and I'm going to focus on that. Like if an iPad Pro or something comes out, I don't feel like that's as big of a deal as a software update. If you look at the big vlogs, and I'm going to throw The Verge under the bus right now, The Verge, whatever, when they review an iPad, they always end up reviewing the software. And I don't think that's fair, because the iPad and the software are released separately. So I feel like those warrant two separate videos, blog posts, whatever. So when an iPad's released, you're talking about hardware and what the hardware is capable of. And like, yes, you can focus on the software and like what the hardware enables the software to do. So like I talked a lot in my last iPad Pro review about like render times in LumaFusion and stuff like that. So that's where I think that would differ. So I don't think like an iPad Pro video would take me as long as like an iPad OS video.
Okay.
But it'll definitely like I'll change up my vacation schedule and stuff like that so that it's focused around this so that I have more time to do this video. Because I can't do what I did again. that just would not work.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to make sure you're thinking forward about that stuff as opposed to like, oh yeah, that was a bad choice. I'm going to try not to do that again. But then you don't have like the actionable steps.
Yeah.
In which you like either notice that you're doing some of those bad habits again and overexerting yourself or, you know, as long as you have some sort of idea and plan and things to look out for, then cool. But like, that's kind of like my point with that is that like have a plan after you realize that this has happened.
And my other big thing, too, is I'm breaking up what would normally be really big videos. So you remember at the beginning of the year, I did everything you need to know about working off an iPad video.
Yes.
That video took me like a month to produce because I spent like 3 weeks doing like research. Actually, it was like a month and a half. I spent like 3 weeks like doing research and all that stuff. And like I filmed it and then I did a bunch of reshoots and then I like took some time editing it and stuff like that. Videos like that, I'm breaking those up. So I just started like a 10 tips series for working on the iPad. And like, mm-hmm. I'm going to break it up into like monthly parts. And I'm just going to include like grab bag of tips that aren't really specific to anything. So they're kind of all over the place. There may be some more detailed, like, oh my gosh, this is going to change my workflow kind of tips, or they might be some smaller settings tweaks. So, you know, that's how I'm kind of doing that. It's just, as long as I have a day job, I can't keep doing super big videos. Not to say that I won't ever do them again. I just can't keep doing major big videos all the time.
Right.
I think I probably could do like one or two a year, and that's probably going to be like iPad OS and iPad reviews. So
I think you know, like I said, the video has been really good, and I'm really happy to kind of see you a notice the fact that you were like having anxiety because of this, and b like making strides to kind of combat.
Yeah,
as much as cliche it is, but like noticing it is like you know more than half the battle.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And honestly, it took me a really long time to notice it. There were several days where I just couldn't get off the couch, and I just thought like, okay, well, you're just really tired, and maybe I was tired, but like it was definitely anxiety, and it's not something to joke around about. It's not something to laugh about. It's serious, and a lot of people deal with it. And if you're suffering with it, reach out, like talk to somebody like that you trust. Go see a doctor. Like it's really important to deal with it.
Yeah, one of the best things I did for myself was to just kind of accept the fact that like, oh, I have anxiety. Like a lot of people say this, and like, but the reason a lot of people say this is it's true for the most part. Is that like when you notice that you have anxiety, whether it is like the first time that you are getting anxiety, and you kind of like, you know, it's the first time you're acknowledging it, or it's something that you have repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as you like, oh, I have anxiety, like the battle is like way easier as opposed to like trying to shove it down and put it under the rug or fight it. Like, and this isn't like a mental health podcast or anything, but like you and I both have anxiety issues. You know, we both deal with it, and I think like we both can kind of attest that like as soon as Bill Hader has a really good where he like thinks of the like anxiety as like a monster that's like trying to crawl all over him and stuff.
Yeah.
And then eventually he's like, oh yeah, no, this is anxiety. Hi buddy, you want to sit on my shoulder kind of thing. Like he does a really good bit about it, but like it's a lot easier to deal with anxiety as soon as you accept the fact that you have it. Like, yeah, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree. So, hopefully that was help somebody or did something for somebody. And I hope we can, I don't know. It was very important for me to talk about because I'm sure somebody out there is feeling, you know, very, I don't even know how to describe the feeling, but it's just, if I don't know, just talk to somebody. That's the most important thing. Just go talk to somebody. So last time we talked, you got rid of your iPad, and I was curious how you feel about that.
Well, I got rid of my iPad a long time ago, but I copped to it.
Well, yeah, you mentioned it on the last time we talked. But I'm curious how you're still feeling about that a couple weeks later.
For the most part, good. I did have a point over today at the time of recording this, where I was like, I wish I had an iPad, and like, to kind of explain it, I have to roll back a lot. And, like, I don't know, like, you were part of it on Twitter, Chris, and I don't mean to be that person, like, oh, I had a thread on Twitter, but, like, I just posted this, like, mind map of, like, me going over the pros and cons of different task management apps, and that became this huge discussion with a number of different people, which was a lot of fun. I'll put the link to it in the show notes, but I've mentioned this before, and I've talked about it before, and it's been an ongoing, like, saga, I would say, in this show, of, like, me not having a task management system in place or not having a solid one in place. And I am back to being a leaf in the wind. Like, I have nothing, Chris. I have, like, zero idea of what I'm doing as far as task management goes or dealing with anything.
And that's why you were late to record.
Yes, I was late to record. Because I literally didn't even have this in my calendar. Like, I had nothing. Like, I haven't been dealing with anything at all. But to kind of explain, like, why I say I wanted to have an iPad with me was because my current quote-unquote system, which isn't really much of a system, involves three different notebooks.
Oh my gosh.
Physical paper notebooks, Chris.
Oh my gosh. That's what if you lost those? Like, what if,
right,
you, like, well, what if, okay, you just forgot to be them?
Okay, so what that was part of my con for, like, a bullet journal, where if I lost my bullet journal, like, everything's gone. But to be fair, if I lost my phone, I wouldn't immediately have access to all of my tasks and stuff. And I also would have to add on to that task, which I finally got to my digital task management system, of get a new phone. And then, like, I had to, like, so regardless, if I were to lose my phone or my notebook, it would be a big problem.
Yeah,
regardless. But
but, like, okay, if you lose your phone, say you lose your phone, you go and get a new one, and then you just sign into your account, and there's all your tasks again. You lose your notebook, you can't go sign into anything to get them back.
True.
Get your task back.
True.
There is no cloud for the notebook, except there is that, like, microwaving your notebook thing. When you microwaved your notebook, was that the cloud for notebooks?
We're still going on this, huh?
I still can't figure out why you're microwaving your notebook. But anyways, okay. That's okay. We don't have time for that.
God. So anyway, the reason I wanted an iPad, Chris,
yes,
was with the three notebooks. And would you like me to go into detail about this, or do we not have time for that?
I mean, I am very curious why you need three notebooks and why you just can't have one. But yes, let's do it.
Okay. So my first notebook I use is a Field Notes journal, which is a, you know, little 3x5 journal that I keep in my pocket and I carry with me everywhere. That is primarily just for inboxing stuff. Something pops up and I don't have access to my other two notebooks for whatever reason, then I will put it in the Field Notes. Or if I would prefer just to, you know, write it down just so I have it for either now or later, I can do that. And the other notebook I have is for the end of day journaling, how did my day go kind of thing. It's the Theme System by the Cortex brand. Mike Hurley and CGB Gray have this new notebook called the Theme System. And it's really, really good for, like, end-of-day journaling kind of thing, or writing down certain areas and aspects and stuff. And maybe I'll write out how I use the Theme System, because the really cool thing about this is that it is basically just, like, boxes. And you fill out what each box kind of represents, and you use that as, like, a theme throughout your time. And you try and have that go back to your yearly theme. And I know it's September, early October, depending on when you're listening to this. We're way too early to start talking about new yearly themes, Chris, but this journal has been working out really well. So those are two of the three. The third one is a, like, goal-oriented book that I use to kind of mark out the things that I want to do for each day. You have an item where you have, like, a main goal and then sub-actions for that main goal. And then you have a bottom list where it's, like, all the other miscellaneous action steps to get to those mini goals to then go towards your main goal.
What? I wish this was a video podcast.
I wish it was too. Like,
I'm so confused.
Well, I wish it was too, just so I could, like, show you the notebook. All right, so what I'm going to do.
Oh, no, this is not. I don't know if that's going to help.
I'm not going to share photos of the theme system because, like, I don't think that's, like, fair to, like, send blank pages of, like, what a theme system, like, kind of. Maybe I will. But, like, the journal I'm talking about is, like, a $6 notebook I got at Target. So I'll share that one. I'll show you this in a second. But, like, the point is that, like, I have an idea of a system in place, but like nothing of the sort is being executed at all. Like if you're thinking back in like GTD terms and stuff, it's like I have a very, very crappy way of capturing, which is like just my field notes journal. And, you know, I can't input that into a technology where I can have like reminders and stuff like that. I have no calendaring system right now. I have no reminding system right now. I have nothing of the sort that I can do. And when it comes to like processing my tasks, it's almost impossible. Like it's just a notebook. I have nowhere else to process them or put them anywhere. And, you know, then that leads into like, you know, reflecting and reviewing and doing, and like, it just doesn't work. It, like, none of it is working for me because I have no system in place. I have like nothing. When I'm going through all three of these notebooks, Chris, I wish I had an iPad so I could collate and make digital pieces of paper that kind of fit all three of these notebooks and just use an iPad as a digital notebook. That's the reason I missed I wanted the iPad, Chris.
Gotcha.
That's the longest way to kind of navigate through explaining to you why I said earlier today I wanted an iPad, but that is exactly what it was. And
I have two things for you. First, have you heard the good word of Things 3?
I've heard about the
If I had like a piece of wood, I'd do the Monty Python thing from Holy Grail and go Hana Haney Requisite and then smash my head with the board or something.
Sure.
It's an amazing. I Things 3. Anyways, I mean, good luck to your new task manager. I'm sure you'll like have a complaint with it in 3 months and change to something else.
Oh no, like I don't know if it's been completely explained or not. I have no system, and I need a system.
No, I know, but you'll find an app here, and then in 3 months you'll text me and be like, okay, this app isn't working for me anymore. What are your choices? You should probably mention, like, you were talking about, like, you do have some options for...
I do have the link to the tweet in the show notes for okay. Anyone that's listening. But to kind of, like, to paint you an audio word picture, the apps in place were Things 3.
It wasn't a list. Sorry, go ahead.
Todoist, OmniFocus 3. Stock Reminders app via iOS 13 and Catalina.
I'll explain why in a bit.
It's broken, right? Like, that's what it's all it basically boils down to. Is that
the biggest issue with reminders? It drives me bonkers. You cannot create a new project for reminders through shortcuts. It drives me bonkers.
You mean like a new list?
Yeah, like a new list, a new project, new list, whatever you want to call them.
Really?
Every app's got a different name for it. I just call them projects. You can't create a new one through reminders. Rosemary Orchard found the workaround in automators, like with a scriptable script. But I'm just like, no, this should be built into shortcuts. Like, right. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It seems to be an oversight where the two teams didn't communicate with each other, I think.
I think it's because it got a big redesign this year, and I mean...
Well, it got rebuild.
Yeah,
so
that's why it may show up in a point release or 14, but I'm still... Anyways, we're going to talk more about that in a bit, because we're going to get to we're going to get to something cool.
Okay. And then the last option, which is not an app, but is a task management system, is a bullet journal. So those are the five things that I'm considering.
I think the physical notebook is the worst idea ever, because A, you can run out of pages, like just straight up run out of pages. And then you got to sit there and rewrite all the stuff that's like in your old one to your new one. And you can lose it. Like Todoist, I think you only need Todoist if you have to work on like a Windows computer, like if you need something that's universal. So I think it really boils down to OmniFocus or Things for you. Like right. if you're asking for my input, which I know you're not, but I'm just, you know, I'm
sure.
I'm like, I can give it anyways, cuz you have to listen to me right now cuz we're podcasting.
I have come to that conclusion as well. Where like Todoist is like meh. Like Tim Nahomik helped me out a lot throughout this, where he was trying to help me get a system in place and everything. And I'm sure he'll text me once he listens to this episode, but like he helped me out a lot, and he basically was like, you don't need OmniFocus, it's too cumbersome. Things 3 is pretty, but you know, if you're going to use, and at that time I was going to use it for like my day job task, which involved a Windows computer. Mm. And he said, if you want to use Things 3, you can. It can be as robust as OmniFocus, but it's very pretty, and it also makes it easy for simpler things as well. And then he's So, like, that was his second choice, I believe. Or Good Tests, one of was. I forget which one it was, now that I think about it. But
yeah, Good Tests is good. I like Good Tests. I spent a little bit of time with it earlier this year on it, but I've come back to Things 3 for reasons. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing, like, if you should keep your day job separate than your personal one.
The way that my reasoning for it was that I don't actually use a task management system much for my day job.
Oh, okay.
Like, I could have the handful of tasks that are usually recurring and things I already know about, but nice to have as a checklist. I could have those in my task management system and only have them, like, if I'm using Things 3 or OmniFocus, I could have them only show up when they're available and when I should do them. And as soon as I do them, I can just check them off and they're gone. Like, I don't have like two separate areas of my life. Like, my job right now, my day job is very, very like, I know what I need. There's like a set list of tasks that I have, and it's already in like a little like checklist sheet at my work. And I can always refer to that if I ever need to, but like, I've been there for 5 years. I know the tasks that leave the back of my hand. And if there's anything new that comes up, you know, we handle it usually the day of, and then we just move on. There's no recurring projects or anything like that involves me having to use a task management.
Gotcha.
So it's now down to household stuff, personal stuff, my website and blog, and anything involving the podcasts or anything that kind of involves my personal life outside of work. That's when my task management system is used for.
I have things set up for, you know, personal stuff, my website stuff, YouTube channel, podcast, things like that. And then at work, we actually use Microsoft To Do. It was actually my idea, believe it or not. And we use that to track projects and tasks and things like that. It's just built on top of Wunderlist. Microsoft bought Wunderlist a few years ago, and it's definitely feels like it's built right on top of that. It works really well for collaborative stuff. So if you need something that's a bit more collaborative, That's actually pretty decent, but I wouldn't use it as my personal task manager at all. It's not robust enough for that. Like, I don't think there's any shortcut support or X callback URL or anything like that. I could be wrong. They might have updated it recently, but last I looked, there wasn't.
Yeah. And the other thing that we're not really talking about, Chris, is that it's not just handling my tasks. It's also handling things like my calendar, which I Fantastic Health 2 has been my calendar and app of choice, but I just never put stuff in it because I think David Allen said it best, where like, I start thinking about what I need to do, and then I realize that I'm so intelligent, and like our brains are so powerful, is that like, I think about the things I need to start thinking about, and then I realize, oh, if I start thinking about that, then I'm gonna start thinking about this and this and this and this. So it's just better if I just don't think about it at all. And guess what? I was late for my record. So
yeah, well, I could see how that's hard for David Allen, you know, always planning summering in France and all that stuff.
Okay.
Okay. I'm reading the thing again. Anyways, moving on.
My point being is that like, it's not just task management systems, it's also my notes, my articles and stuff. Like, everything is scatterbrained, Chris. Like, nothing about my system, about my life right now, is in a specific system.
You need is two things. Okay. You just need two things. Things 3 and Drafts 5.
Okay. All right. And that's great for you, Mr. iPad, but I have a Mac. And like, Things 3 is great on every platform, basically. But like, and again, this is not me trying to be that guy and like dunk on an app or anything like that. But like, Drafts 5 does not have the actions in which it does on iOS than it does on the Mac. You know?
I keep forgetting about that, to be honest. I'm sorry.
So but I will say, like I am going to take, like, what you and I have talked about this a little bit before we started recording. This isn't like a new conversation we've been having, but like, this is the first time that we've talked about it, like, at length. Like, you told me before, like, just start using Drafts 5 for all your notes.
Yeah, make
like
a checklist. I'll send it to you later. I made a shortcut that's literally perfect for making a checklist in Drafts 5.
Okay.
And you can modify it and like, add tags to it by default and call it, like, checklist tag or whatever you want. It's would be perfect for that. And then, like, once you figure out what you need from there, like, grow it from there. But just start as simple as possible. Like, literally as simple as possible.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens, and I'm sure there will be follow-up for it in the future. But
and if you really want to get an iPad in the future for this stuff, I have the 10.2-inch iPad. In fact, it's what my local recording is recording to right now. And it's actually really nice. I'm working on a full review of it, but as far as like a cheap iPad goes, you get the Smart Connector keyboard and the Apple Pencil. It's pretty great. Like it's pretty awesome. And if you just needed something to do like admin work on and maybe a little bit of writing, this would be perfect for that. And it's cheap. Like it's, you know, $329. Don't buy the Smart Connector keyboard from Amazon or from Apple. Go on Amazon, look for the 10.5-inch iPad Pro Smart Connector keyboard and get that because it's the same thing and it's $50 off.
Really?
Yep, that's the one I bought. Yeah, I'm looking at the box right now. It says 10.5-inch iPad Pro. I paid, I think it was like $110 instead of $159, which is really expensive, but whatever, it's Apple. Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Huh. And like it fits the cover perfectly and everything.
It's the same thing. So the 10.5-inch iPad Pro and the new iPad Air and this 10.2-inch iPad all use the same Smart Connector keyboard. They didn't make a new one.
How is that possible? Because I thought the 10.2 would be smaller than the 10.5.
No, it's just bezels.
Really? Okay.
I think the 10.5, it might be physically bigger, but like at this, looking at the Smart Connector keyboard, like it's the right size. Like,
all right.
If you're interested in getting an iPad in the future, don't feel you have to get an iPad Pro because I don't think you need an iPad Pro. Yeah, if you're not working off of it all the time, you don't need an iPad Pro. Look at this one or look at the iPad Air.
Yeah.
Or even an iPad mini, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. An iPad, we'll get to that in a second, but yeah.
Wait, did you buy an iPad mini too?
I mean, we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, so we teased on the last episode we were going to do like a what's on our phone kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we should do that. So do you want to go first or would you like me to go first?
Why don't you go first?
I'm gonna send you some images here really quick. Hopefully this is in the right order. There should be three of them.
Which one do you want me to look at first?
Widgets. Widgets. Let's go through widgets first. So we're gonna so there's three pages. Typically when people talk about their home screen, they only talk about one page, but I'm gonna talk about three because they all kind of work together. So there is a theme behind my iPhone.
Okay.
And it's the fact that it's not an iPhone. I think of my iPhone as an iPad mini that has a phone number attached to it.
Okay.
So that's how I like to think of it. It's not an iPhone. It's an iPad mini that has a phone number attached. That's it.
You named your phone Jarvis?
Oh, how did you see that?
It's in batteries.
Oh, is it really? Oh, yeah, it's Jarvis. So the naming for all of my iPads and computer devices and stuff are Iron Man Armor, but my iPhone, iPad Mini, is named Jarvis because he's Iron Man's helper, dude.
So it's not an iPad Mini, it's an iPad Super Mini.
Yeah, basically. Okay. So we'll kind of, so like, keep that in mind. Like, I think of this thing as an iPad Mini. So I have the iPhone 11 Pro Max, terrible name. Like, really, Apple? Come on. We know you're bad at names, but this is redonkulously bad. Okay, so widget screen is up first. And then I have Carrot Weather, Things, Fantastical, and Battery. This is like my today screen. This is everything I need to know about my day is in this screen. When I wake up, or not when I wake up, but when I'm kind of getting ready in the morning and going through my day, this is what I look at. This is the screen I refer back to all day long. This is what keeps me on track. This is like the most important screen on my iPad, iPad mini, iPhone. Like I said, I think of it as an iPad mini. Then you have my apps page. And we're going to include these photos in the show notes somehow. Yeah. We'll get them in there. Yeah. Up top, you have four folders, entertainment, work, life, and utilities. So entertainment, pretty self-explanatory. Work are apps that I use for work, whether it's for my day job or YouTube. Doesn't really matter. To me, it's just work, so it goes in that folder. Life is technically like health stuff, fitness stuff, Starbucks, because I count that, deliveries. that's life to me right there. And then utilities, I don't think that really needs an explanation, but it's like a grab bag of like utility stuff.
What's the one, two down, three over? What's the music one?
Two down, three over on the make holder. Oh, two down, three over. Oh, that is Mixamum, and that is a way to make smart playlists on iOS. It's a really cool app. I need to do a video about it. It's a really interesting app. The first row, my rows don't really have themes, but stuff is grouped together. So yeah, mail, photos, fantastical, carrot weather. I don't think those need any explanation.
No. Nope.
Then you have do, timery, messages, and phone.
Yep. For those of you who don't know, Timery is a really good toggle timing app. It's better than the standard iPhone app and the standard iPad app.
Yes.
Actually, I don't think there is an iPad app.
There is now. Okay. In fact, they've been updating it pretty rigorously, too. I
like to think it's because of Timery.
That's what I like to think. I think so, too, but I don't know for sure. A lot of people don't put phone on their home screen. I still have to make quite a few phone calls, unfortunately, so it's there on my home screen. Then I have home, because right now I messed up all my HomeKit stuff, so I'm like trying to rebuild it, and like it's going on the home screen until I make sure everything's rebuilt right. Shortcuts, because obviously I make a lot of shortcuts.
Duh, yeah.
PCalc, because it's a great calendar app. Maps, because I live in California, and Apple Maps is actually really good in California. Supposedly, it's getting better everywhere else, but, you know, they had to start with the best state.
Hey, Chris, to stop you, you said PCalc is a good calendar app.
PCalc? That's okay. I'm sorry, I meant PCalc is a great calculator app with a fun hidden game. Check out the About screen. But yeah, PCalc, great calculator. Maps, really good in California. Tweetbot is my Twitter app of choice. I'm one of those people that I just subscribe to like tech news and all that stuff, and I get tech news and tech bloggers and hot takes and everything through there, so I'm addicted to it, whatever. Dark Noise is a fantastic noise application I use for when I'm writing or just need a focus. This has actually really helped with anxiety. When I feel really anxious, I put this on, put on the waterfall, and just put on headphones and just listen to that for a minute and just kind of relax. Seriously, super helpful with anxiety.
Yeah, you turned me onto this app before, and as soon as it came out, I immediately like paid for a year.
Yeah,
and it's been fantastic. It helps me sleep all the time.
And it has a fun neon icon. Overcast, a podcast app of choice. Apple Music, because Apple Music. And then the bottom row is kind of photography. So you have the standard camera app, because there's always like some stuff that it can do that like third party camera apps can't do. How do you pronounce that one?
Halide, Jeff? Is what I've heard.
Halide, so I can take raw photos right off my iPhone. Except fun fact, the wide camera angle, or this ultra wide, super wide, whatever it's called, camera lens can't take raw photos. So that kind of sucks.
The real-time follow-up, they recently did a new update today where you can, it automatically switches between RAW for the wide angle and the telephoto angle on the iPhone Pro to max on the wide angle, which I don't know what the file format is for that, but
probably JPEG.
Apparently it's better than JPEG. Like, I don't understand the specifics of it, but like, it's a pseudo RAW. I haven't read the.
What's it called? I'm not going to remember. Anyways, I kind of know what you're talking about.
I will put a link to the latest update, with all the notes and stuff from Halide's website on there, and we'll go from there. But like, everything will be in there for the people that are looking for it. Halide 1.14 is what it is, if you want to just like Google it, but that's what it is.
The next to that is Filmic Pro, because I still do film stuff with my iPhone, especially the iPhone 11 Pro Max, because the camera is beautiful, and Filmic Pro is the best way to film video.
Okay.
Next to that, Lightroom, because that's what I've been using to edit photos. I mostly edit photos on my iPad, but I've been out and about, especially since I've been testing the iPhone camera, and I've just been using Lightroom on the iPhone just to make some quick edits and stuff like that, and it's fine. It works pretty well, so thumbs up for Lightroom on the iPhone. And then in the dock, I've got Files, because I live and breathe off iOS and iPadOS, so Files is important to have. Safari. Things 3, my task manager of choice, because I've lived up, I did reminders over the summer, I did good tasks before that. they're both great, and if they work for you, that's great. Things 3 came out with a good update. I wanted to try it out, and I just went back to it, and I just keep falling in love with it. It's just such a good app. I think I'm just going to stick with it for now on. I'm kind of tired of moving task managers to make videos about them, so I think I'm just going to stick with Things 3. And then Drafts is my text editor of choice. Pretty much everything I write goes through Drafts, and I've got quite a few actions and stuff in there, and it's just, it's so good. It's just so good at that. So that's the app page. That whole theme of that page is software, apps, things like that. Now if we go to the third page and the final page.
This is where things get weird.
This is where things get weird. So I am a devout Shortcuts user. I'm a Shortcuts advocate. I love Shortcuts. No surprise there. You may have noticed on the widget screen, I left off the Shortcuts widget. So one of the big updates, I wouldn't say it's a big update, but one of the nice improvements to Shortcuts in iOS 13 and iPadOS is that when you put a shortcut on the home screen, it no longer opens a Safari page and then goes to Shortcuts to run it. It just, if you put a shortcut on the home page, you tap it, it goes straight to Shortcuts now. Because of that, it makes this it runs a little bit quicker now. So I wanted to dedicate a whole page to what I call actions. And this is probably primarily what I run from my iPhone or iPad mini, like I was saying. These are what my iPhone is for. This is what my iPhone's for. So all of these shortcuts I run pretty regularly, except for a couple that I mostly just have on here because I'm playing with them right now. And this may not be the final, like the final version of this screen. Like it's definitely subject to change, but these were the ones that I felt worked best here. So we'll kind of run through them. So new tasks, this shortcut right here adds new tasks to Things 3, but what it does is it allows me to create multiple new tasks. So each line will be a new task. So I can, you know, type in get oil changed, the new line, and do like check mail, and then new line and do get haircut. And like each one of those will be a new task, and it just gets dumped into the inbox.
Okay, simple enough.
Yep. Then there's grocery list, which basically does the same thing as new tasks, but it gives you the ability to enter multiple items, and then it puts it in my grocery list project in Things 3. So there's like a specific project for groceries.
Okay.
That way it doesn't get mixed in with a bunch of other stuff. New video project will create a it'll ask for the project name, so like iPadOS review, and then it'll create all the tasks that I typically do, so like write notes, write script, record VO, edit VO, record primary track, re-edit primary track, so on and so on. New video idea allows me to type in a video idea and adds it to an Airtable database. Which I need to do a video about Airtable.
Yes, we both do. Like, well, you do a video. I'll probably write about it or do something with it because, like, I've been playing around. We'll get into it with mine probably, but I've been playing around with it a lot more, and it's been really, really nice when it comes to like just jotting out a list of things.
Yes,
and it's so good.
It's such a great database service. Like all my ideas and things I want to do and just like a whole bunch of stuff just lives in there. And it's easy to add stuff to it with shortcuts. It's a pretty easy API to work with. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Next row is new Slab of Glass episode. So this will basically build out a project template for every time we record a new episode. I know we haven't been recording lately. We're going to be fixing that. But yeah, that's what that's for. The next one is bag checklist. Like I was mentioning, since I got my fancy new camera, I've been wanting to go outside more. So this is a way of giving me a checklist. And I got this idea from David Sparks on the Automator podcast. He did a really good video on his YouTube channel that we should link to about building this. It basically uses a dictionary, and then like you can break it up into categories. And so, like, I have, like, iPad stuff, camera stuff, overnight stuff, and, like, I can select what category when I go out and pick it. Because what I was noticing before I had a bag checklist, I was forgetting stuff all the time. And that was not good. Like, I was forgetting, like, the camera strap, and I'm like, okay, great, now I'm out here without a camera strap, and that sucked.
So, there was a list. One packing list extravaganza.
Yeah, yeah, it's that one. And then he has a video on, I don't know if it's on his channel or the Automator's channel. We could find that. And we'll add it to the show notes. But I got the idea from that for doing the dictionary and like basically breaking things up via groups. Then I have a new calendar event, which it works with Fantastic Hell. But what this does is it checks, it asks what date, and you are going to enter a new calendar event. It'll tell you, oh, you don't have anything on your calendar that day, or it'll show you that you have something on your calendar that day, so you don't double book yourself, and then you can like enter your new calendar event. Quick message, which messages a bunch of people, things I say often to people I say often or talk to often. New draft just literally creates a new draft. Clipboard to draft basically takes whatever's on my clipboard and creates a new draft. Draft workspaces start basically gives me a menu of my workspaces in drafts, and I could just tap one and it'll open that workspace right to it.
Ooh.
And then drafts checklist, this was that one I was talking about earlier, but basically it works a lot like the new task deal. Everything that's a new line becomes a separate item in a checklist, if that makes
sense. Got you.
Yeah, okay. That one's pretty cool. That one's been pretty handy. I use that for like when I'm working on a project at work and I know I need to check on like these five things, and I'm not going to make up tasks in like a shared, because like all of our stuff is shared at work, so I'm not going to make a task in there to like check on these five things. Sure. I just put that in there and then I can check that off. And it uses the markdown box deal, so you can literally tap in there and it'll put an X, and it works nice.
It's so good. It's nice.
It's really nice. Writing time basically configures my devices for writing time. Do not disturb plays a nice playlist, things like that. Podcast time actually is really cool. It looks at what device it's running on and then we'll do different things. So like my iPad I record the local audio on, it puts it in airplane mode, but my iPad that does the Skype call, that just puts on do not disturb. So that's kind of cool.
Interesting. How do you do that? Is that by specific device?
Get device details, and then I use the name. So like if it's Hulkbuster, which is my big iPad Pro, then it just puts on do not disturb. But if it's, I think the other one, this one, Silver Centurion, it'll put it in airplane mode.
You are such a geek. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. 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 My naming scheme is Iron Man Armor. Play audio gives you the option of doing either dark noise, overcast, or picking from like a whole, and then, or you could pick music, and then it has another menu that's like a bunch of playlists, albums, things like that. HomePod controls the HomePod, does things like let you change music from a bunch of different playlists, albums, things like that. Volumes, crazy fun stuff that's awesome. Share link to files will go into files. You find the file, you tap on it, it'll get the file, it'll get a link to the file, and then it'll bring up the share menu. So that's pretty handy. I use that one quite a bit. Okay. And then these two I've kind of been just playing with. They probably won't stay on here, but it's Blot YouTube Publish and Blot ASOG Publish. And so I moved my website off Squarespace. Buy Squarespace! Yeah, because they broke their little bit of automation they had, they broke it, and I was mad. And then when I talked to them, they're like, well, I mean, we have this web app now, and it basically does the same thing. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And they wouldn't listen to me, so I'm gone, and I'm now using blot.im, and I'm really happy with it. It's just a bunch of text files, like super easy to automate with, like incredibly easy. I can hit this button on my iPad. I do have shortcuts in the today view or in the widget view, and I can just hit that and it just automatically grabs the last thing in the RSS feed. So like my last video in the YouTube RSS feed grabs that, gets all the name, data, everything, puts it in a text file, saves it to Dropbox, and automatically gets uploaded. I am going to move my website to Git now that I'm happy with blot.im. I do want to move it out of Dropbox and into Git, okay. But that's a project for another day. And sure, then yeah. Blot ASFG basically does the same thing, looks for the latest episode, grabs all the information, makes a text file, uploads, good to go.
Yep.
Find place. You ever out and you're just like, okay, we need to get some food or something like that, and you pull up maps and you just look for food and stuff like that. That's basically what Find Place does. Is you hit it, you type in pizza, and it'll find all the pizza places around you.
All right.
Timery controls the app Timery that we talked about a little earlier. Home controls all my HomeKit stuff, TV, Apple TV, All that stuff, that's really nice. Clipboard Manager basically allows me to add stuff to Yoink and get stuff from Yoink, because iOS does not have a good clipboard manager, and that drives me bonkers. It needs a clipboard manager.
So how does it, how does it know? How do it know? Oh. How do it work?
So when I hit it, it basically brings me up a menu of whether I want to get what's on my clipboard and then save it to Yoink, or get something from Yoink and add it to my clipboard.
So you're using the app Yoink, but this is your shortcut.
Okay. But I'm using it through shortcuts.
Got you. Okay.
Maybe that's not the most efficient way to do it, but it's the way I'm doing it, and I'm happy.
Well, I'm just surprised you're not using like Copied or something. But like Yoink, because like to me, Yoink is always like a shelf app.
Yeah, but my problem with Copied and stuff is you have to keep opening the app every single time. This way, I could just hit the shortcut and just run the shortcut really quickly. Like Copied, because of iOS limitations, it doesn't always automatically add your clipboard to it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that was my issue with Copied. And then the last one, and I'll shut up, is blood glucose log. I've talked before, I'm diabetic, and I don't really trust the little log system on my meter. So I want to put it in the health app. So I use this. It asks what my numbers are and stuff, and whether it's before dinner or after dinner, or before a meal or after a meal or whatever, and it logs it in health.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's very cool. That's mine. That's the actions page. So like I said, every page has a theme to it. And then like I said, I think of my iPhone not as an iPhone but as an iPad mini. And I guess that analogy is kind of getting hard, especially now with iPad OS out, but it's not a phone. Like, I mean, yeah, I make phone calls on it, but I use it for so much more than just that. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's mine.
All right, I'm taking screenshots right now. I am like super shocked at the fact that you have so many shortcuts. Here's my question: are you going to have links to all these shortcuts?
No, I am not, because I am working on a page for my website. I will try and have it up by then, but no promises. But I am working on a page for my website that. Like shortcuts that will be useful to everyone that aren't like specific to me will be hosted on my website. It's here really soon. People have been asking me this for a really long time, and I've just been kind of putting it off because I didn't want to deal with Squarespace. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm off of Squarespace and blot.im makes everything so easy, I'll do that. I'll put like a bunch of these on there. So if it's up in time, we will link to that page. If it's not, there will be follow up with it. But I don't have the time to generate links to all these and put them in there. Right. So we will. There will be a static page on my website, and I will try and have it up before this episode goes up.
So we'll have a link to it, but it might not have anything on it.
It's coming, and it'll be there, I promise. I'm also going to do a gear page because people have been asking for that as well. And those two things I've gotten a ton of requests for, so I will have them soon. It's just a lot of work to get them all going, and I've got a lot on my plate right now.
Gotcha.
I'll probably do the shortcuts one before gear because people have been asking, like more people ask for that one. And I think that one will be easier to generate with a new action shortcuts.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Very cool. So I texted you my
I have
stuff.
I have problems with it already, but let's go through it.
Okay. Well, okay. You also, you also have to understand, I have zero system in place right now. I have nothing.
But why is the battery widget so far at the top? The battery widget should not be that far at the top.
Well, because I don't have anything else I usually use, confession time. I don't use the widgets. I literally don't. I cleared out a bunch of stuff that was just on here by default. I don't use the widgets at all, and that might
really?
Be a problem. And I'm sure I'll have to reassess.
That's problematic.
It is. It can be. So, with widgets, I have dark sky. I had to crop out my address because apparently that shows it in the widget, which is weird. And then after that is batteries. I don't know anyone that doesn't have the batteries widget on their phone.
Yeah, but it belongs at the bottom.
Okay. All right. I always have it at the top.
Problematic. Honestly, that's very problematic.
Sure. And then I have the up next thing on my calendar, which I haven't touched my calendar. In fact, I have one in here that says sleep. And I put that in there when I was doing a bunch of hyper-scheduling stuff, and that was it.
I love that you have sleep on your calendar. That's awesome.
Well, it's because it's just part of hyper-scheduling that I was just using to like kind of plan out my next day, and like nothing good came out of it. So it just... It's just leftover cruft from when I was experimenting with calendaring. After that is the screen time, which I don't know why it's on here. I think it's on here by default. It's just one of those things I never cleared out. But it's nice to have just in the event that if I do want to kind of keep an eye on where I'm using my device and stuff. Today was a real heavy day on Twitter.
Yeah, I could tell. I'm silently judging, but now I guess I'm allowed to. I'm just kidding. I hit my limit on Twitter, and I went ignore for the day. I have never not hit ignore for the day button. You know when it says like your time's up.
Yeah.
I've never not hit ignore for the day. I don't even know why I have it on at this point. Like I always just hit ignore for the day because I always like come up with some reason in my head to justify it. So I'm like, I can ignore it for the day. I have X reason, so I don't even know why.
I've been a good boy. I deserve this.
No. Mostly, I say I need it for my work because what if something happens? Like, what if something happens to the iPad? What if Apple announces a new iPad Pro at Friday at 6 p.m.? You know, you never know. Yeah. It could happen.
in a world, man. Yeah. And then finally is the shortcuts widget, which I don't use. I don't use any of these things. I don't know why I'm even going over.
Do you use shortcuts a lot? Especially now that you don't have an iPad. Do you use shortcuts?
No judgment here. Okay. Not really. In fact, I recently declared shortcut bankruptcy, so I have like zero shortcuts on my thing.
I did the same thing over the beta. I declared shortcuts bankruptcy and like rebuilt a lot of mine, mostly because like the upgrade path kind of broke a few things, and I wanted to rebuild them because of the new parameters, actions, and things like that. It just made it more efficient. So like I cut down a lot of my bigger shortcuts from like, you know, I had some shortcuts that were over 20 actions to, you know, less than 20.
Sure, yeah.
Less than 15, even.
Yeah, I have two in here that have over 200 actions, but they're not ones I've created. They're not ones I've created. They're both of them. One of them is the home screen icon creator that Federico Vittici made, and the other one is called Mocktail, which is basically a way for you to create a bunch of really, really pretty screenshot photos where they implement the screenshot that you've selected into like different stock photos of the phone, which is really, really nice.
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
I'll share it and put it in the show notes. But other than that, like I don't use widgets. So let's go back to the main home screen, Chris, if you would be so kind. So right off the bat, you see a couple of weird things going on. I am a person that kind of uses things row by row where I have specific categories. And one way of doing that is that I actually have the folders for each category on the left side, and I have my top three app.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I use my phone on my right hand.
Okay.
So
I was just curious. Because I'm ambidextrous, so I use either one, so that's why my folders are at the top.
Which is fine, like a tomato, tomato.
Yeah. No, I was just curious because I always find like it interesting, like how people have their home screens arranged on whether they're right-handed or left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Yeah, and like, see, now that we're doing this, it makes me. I'll get into this in a second. I'll explain, but like, I don't want to put the cart before the horse.
Okay.
So, the top row is like, before I go into like each thing, there's a couple of apps that like I have to have securely in one spot. Like regardless of whatever I decide to do, there are a few apps that I would always have anchored to a specific position. The first one being 1Password. It's always in the upper right-hand corner. I don't know why I decided that's where it goes, but that's just where it goes.
Interesting.
And settings is always in the bottom left-hand corner. I don't know why I decided that either. It's just where it goes. I used to have the App Store in the upper left-hand corner, but then I realized, you know, over this period of like rearranging my home screen after I got the new iPhone Pro, I don't use the App Store that much. I mean, yeah, it's nice to see the new curated content with it and stuff, but... It's not anything that really brings me any kind of satisfaction, and I just don't really want to have to always have it be there. And with automatic updates automatically, you know, turned on for everything, everything's going to get updated regardless of whatever. So if there's like a big update with an app I'm really cherishing and I want to like have that new stuff come in, like Halide recently did the update, I wanted to play around with that today when that came out. then, you know, I'll go into the App Store and update it. But I don't need to have it in my home screen. I don't go to it every day, or I don't use it every day. Like, that was kind of my question of, like, what apps do I use every day, or what I want to use every day that I would put on my home screen? And then the rest of them go into the folder, which is on the left side of each specific row. So now we can get into it. The top row is photo and video and Twitter. So the leftmost is folder with a bunch of apps in there that I use for photo and video, the apps that I'm playing with.
Twitter, not Tweetbot.
No, I have a specific reason for that in a second. I'll get to it.
Okay.
I have a bunch of photo apps in the folder. I have Instagram, which I post my photo a day to, at I am Jeff Perry. There'll be a link to it in the show notes. And the official Twitter app. And like I said before, 1Password in the upper hand corner. So okay. The reason I don't use Tweetbot is because, A, I've gotten so used to the official Twitter app that it's just been useful for me, especially when it comes to, like, seeing conversations and threads and stuff like that. It's just much nicer to see it on the official Twitter app as opposed to...
I'm so confused by it. I'm so confused by it.
I prefer it. It makes sense to me in my brain. It just makes perfect sense.
It's so confusing to me. I don't understand how it works. I every time I see like a thread in that I always have to like use opener and go back to Tweetbot with it because I'm like, I don't get this. Like, I'm like, I don't see which way am I supposed to scroll? It doesn't make any sense to me. It breaks my brain.
Sure. I get it. So and then also the new feature that it has where it's like you can now swipe to your different lists.
Find
to be way, way, way superior than the system in which that Tweetbot has, where you have to like find the button on the bottom and press and hold and select your lists and then choose the list. It's just way easier for me to just swipe to like through my lists of like what I want to see. So I have like the default timeline, and I have an Apple one and I have a friends and family one that I go to.
Okay.
So that's the top row. Second row, I have a utilities folder, which has things like my phone, Dropbox, the WordPress app, Dark Sky, Deliveries, Giphy, and Dark Noise. And those are my utilities that I use. I have a bunch more in the back end of like, and this is kind of where I put all of my Apple apps that come into play in the very top of, you know, when as soon as you install it, has like the health app, the camera app, the calculator app, the book app. They're all baked in here too. Yeah, the stuff I don't want and the stuff that I'm just not going to use. The stuff I do have outside of that row is Airtable, Shortcuts, and Do. Shortcuts and Do are pretty obvious, but Airtable, for those of you who don't know, we mentioned it before. It's a database app basically, but it's a really good way to like have lists and have certain things. And you and I, Chris, share topic ideas on Airtable, and then we move them over when we decide that we're going to use them into Google Document. And it works great. And I'm starting to try and implement it as a way for me to use with like blog post ideas and stuff that I want to have just like saved and like have as somewhere where it's a safe place for it to be. It's not integrated with like a task management app or a notes app. Like, it should be its own kind of place for me. And like Airtable is a really, really nice solution for that problem.
Can I give a couple of use cases of Airtable that aren't specific to like Apple bloggers?
Sure.
Video games and movies. I have databases for both of those for stuff I want to play and movies I want to watch.
Think about that.
Yeah. Like I have a whole database of games that are coming up. I put like the release date in it or like a game that I want to play that maybe I like bought it when it was on sale, but I haven't had time to come back to it. So like I'll put it in there and then I have a little checkbox like, do you already own it? And you could like check the box. So it's like, oh, when I'm looking for a game to play, I pull that up and be like, oh, I already own this game. Like, let's play that one. And then I do the same thing with movies. I'm like, oh, I want to watch a movie. What movies? I put release dates for movies. Do I already own it? Or like, when is it going to be in theaters? Or something specific like that. There are use cases outside of like, hey, I'm an Apple blogger. I need to keep my idea someplace.
I didn't think of it that way. And like, the really cool thing is that like, for people that are listening to this and like want to use it for that stuff, and they're not necessarily like in the creative space, that if you wanted to use things like Shortcuts or their APIs and stuff, Automators has a whole episode about Airtable that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I took that information that they brought and started using it with my own specific Airtable stuff. So it's nice. It's fun. And I really should like start playing around with Airtable a lot more. But and this kind of lies into the problem of another reason why I kind of miss having an iPad, Chris, is that building shortcuts on an iPhone like really isn't a fun experience at all.
Yeah, I was doing it today a little bit, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go grab my iPad really quick.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been trying to think of a way to like kind of make things easier for me, and I have a lot of thoughts on it, and I think I'm going to make a post about it and eventually share my thoughts on it, but we'll see.
I do have a question. What do you use Do for? Because for me, I only have two things in my Do instance, and it's to remind me to take meds in the morning and remind me to take meds in the evening, because I want something that has that repetitive reminder that constantly just berates me that like, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to do this. I wish like the health app or something had that. I really don't want to put that in my task manager, because then every time I do like I want to see what my today is, at the top it's take meds in the morning, and then there's take meds in the evening, and I don't want to, and then you have that badge on there until you like take my last meds at like 6 p.m. and it's just like so that's why I use Do for that, but like I'd love to see like the health app or something get that
right. And I use Do for the same reasons that you do, where it's for reminding about medication and things like that. But I also, and I haven't done this yet, but it's been in my like my plan for this perfect task management system that I just clearly don't have, where I'm going to take the mundane tasks and stuff that I don't necessarily want in my task manager. Like, because the way that I kind of want to like portray this is that like Do is for like the ground level kind of work, the crap that you don't want to have to remember, but you need to remember in order for things to continually run smoothly. Like take the trash out every other week, or not every other week, but like take make sure the trash is out.
I was going to say that's a long time.
or clean the cat box every other, you know, every 4 days or whatever, or something along, like that's kind of where I want the mundane kind of things to go. And that way I can have top level projects and stuff like that go into a task management system where, and then I also want to have like specific timers and stuff like that I'll integrate into a shortcut, because the thing about the Do timers is that you can have it automatically like continually pester you you know, until you like you tell it to stop. And to me, that just makes things a lot harder for me to like stop it and like more intentional. Like, I've been trying to get better. I at my work, they implemented a new rule where you had to basically clock in and out where it wasn't a rule before. You kind of just like marked your hours. And it's just one of those things where it was a hard transition for me to do so. So I created a shortcut and used Do as a way to like always pester me, but like, hey, clock in, clock out at specific times of the day. And then when I would have a timer for my lunch hour, I would have it pester me every minute until I clocked in and I would mark. So that's the kind of stuff I'm using Do for. And I wanted to start using it more for like the mundane and simple.
And it's really good for that. I only use it for two things, but they're two very, very important things. Like those are like not world ending, but me ending things, because, you know, diabetic,
sure,
pancreas, it ain't working.
Yeah. And then lifestyle. I have, I have a bunch of like really fun, like some fun, some not so fun, like worky apps and stuff. Like this one's kind of like a hodgepodge of certain things, and I haven't really like thought too much about it.
Yeah, I this one doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. Like, so I have things like Audible, Snapchat, and the Yahoo Fantasy Football app on there. But I also have things like Google Drive, Google Docs, and the App Store. The App Store I think makes sense. Google Drive and Google Docs does not make as much sense. But I, and like the back end of things, and I don't want this to be on the main screen, but I have like YouTube, Plex. I have the Tweetbot app in there in the event that I need to use it, the Amazon app. Things like that are in the back end of it, like page 2 and 3. But I think I put Google Drive and stuff in there by accident. I just never.
That seems like more of a utility to me.
It is. Those two apps are indeed more utility. I think they were just accidentally put in.
Gotcha. I'm curious, why is Snapchat not in photo and video? That seems like a more photo and video.
I don't use Snapchat to take photos and videos. I use Snapchat as a means of communication between different groups of friends.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a photo and video thing primarily.
I'm too old to understand that. Like, I look at Snapchat and I'm like, what is this UI?
yeah.
I'm an old. I don't get it.
It's just easier to have. Well, the UI is not necessarily the easiest thing to understand. Like, I didn't realize that you can, like press record and then use that same thumb that you just press record onto like Zoom. And like, there's some really intuitive like UI stuff that just never gets explained. And like somehow people know how to do it. And
they don't want the olds to find out.
Yeah.
I'm 29 now, Jeff. Like, I'm old.
Yeah. Anyway, so I have Mail, Slack, and Telegram on there. Mail makes sense, but I turn badge notifications off on it. I don't check it.
Wait, the only time I check it. Are any notifications on?
Yes, VIP.
Oh, okay. All right. I can kind of understand that. Okay.
So, like, the VIP are things like my bosses and close family and friends. Like, I really want to expand my VIP list a little bit more because there is email that I like to get that I want to have be in the VIP where I get notified in which that I get emails from that sender, but I don't want emails to continually berate me with badges and stuff like that. And it's just, it's too much for me.
I think nobody should have any notifications on for email. Like, I am a firm believer. In fact, like, when I am not dealing with email, like, that thing is closed, put away. Like email is a state of mind that I have to be in to deal with it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's better than what it was before, where you just never dealt with it.
I mean, I kind of stopped dealing with it for a few weeks because I was working on my iPad OS video. Well, I need to get
back
to that.
Yeah, we already went over that.
Yeah, I'll get back to it tomorrow or something.
Next is Slack. I have that for a couple of groups that I'm in. Primarily just another means of communication with a bunch of internet friends, basically. Daryl Baxter is a really fun one that I need to get back into. I haven't been on any of these since I got the new iPhone Pro because I started from scratch with my new iPhone. So, like, I have to re-sign in and everything, so I haven't been, like, part of that group since the new iPhone. So I need to get back into it. I feel kind
of
bad.
I kind of backed out of all the Slacks and everything I'm in. There's a Discord I'm in, but that's about, like, Discord and Twitter are pretty much my only social places that I'm at right now.
Gotcha. And then Telegram I used to... Mike Rabin was the one that got me into this, the co-host of Getting Caught Up. I did join a new group by Jason Mendeloff today after talking about, like, task management and stuff like that. And it's called the Worldwide Wolfpack. It's got 112 members on it. It's a lot of fun and a lot of really cool people on there. I'll put a link to where you can join and stuff like that. But yeah, those are the three apps that I use primarily in my lifestyle, basically. And, you know, there's a folder for it. After that, we are out of the folder areas, Chris. Now I just have 8 apps and my dock left, and that's it.
Okay. All right.
The next row is, like, kind of my, like, reading list, and I, like, calendar is there, but, like, it's primarily, like, a reading list row. Fantastical is the first thing, which is my calendar app of choice, if I were to use one, I suppose. Then I have an app called Pinner, which is...
What is this?
So, Pinner is an app for Pinboard, which is a really cool service where you can bookmark web pages, and it's very, very simple. But very powerful if you use the API and things like that, where you can do some really fun things with it. And it's also a way for, like, people to, like, save links and share them. So if people can, like, follow certain users on Pinboard, if you really wanted to, pinboard.in is where you can do. So it's kind of fun. I don't use it nearly as much as I really should.
Yeah, because next, like, I'm so confused about the next one now. Like, that, now I'm really confused.
Instapaper is the next one. So...
Why do you have both of those? They do the same thing.
No. They
okay.
do not do the same.
Oh my gosh. Is this going to be like a how do and a task manager are different, but not really?
No. So Pinboard is an application or a web app that you use to save links, and specifically only links. It does not save the content in which that website is on. It doesn't save anything offline for you to use. Instapaper is an application that you use and a web app that you use to save links that then populates the information of the content on that web page into an offline resource or a readable resource that you can either view online or save to your device. That is why I use Instapaper, because I want to be able to read things when I'm not on Wi-Fi, which you don't think you would think that in this day and age where you're not on Wi-Fi a whole lot. But
what about
there are times you have to remember, I work in an industry where you basically had to block off at, like, those kind of waves.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how things work in television.
Yeah. You work for the old media as well.
Correct. Radio waves and microwaves and gamma rays.
How do they work, man?
How do they work?
Nobody knows.
So, like, that's what I do. And because of that, if the Wi-Fi is out, which happens often in the area in which that I work, which is the control center, and, like, the Wi-Fi goes out there all the time because everything's directly connected via Ethernet and you know, with 10, you know, several 10 gigabyte Ethernet cables through an intranet and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily important to have Wi-Fi up and running perfectly. And when Wi-Fi doesn't work, I have no cellular. Therefore, if I want to read articles or do something in my downtime, I have to go to Instapaper, or I have to go to my downloaded videos, or I have to go to this or that. That's why I use Instapaper.
Okay, I'm with you. That makes sense. Yep. Okay.
Finally on this row is Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R. It's an RSS reader.
I hate that spelling so much.
But the app is so good, I don't care how it spells.
The app is really good. I mean, that was my go-to RSS reader of choice for a very long time. And then, you know, Google Reader went away and was just like, okay, all right, I'll just move everything to Twitter.
Reader, well, okay. We are going to talk about that at some point. That's some future follow-up.
I need to talk to you. I think it might be an offline conversation because I don't think it'll be that interesting. But okay, I do need to talk to you because I need to start paring down Twitter. I am, one of the things that was causing me anxiety was U.S. politics, because that fun right now.
Well, you have TweetBot, you can like block certain words and phrases and
yeah
stuff,
no right? That's what I've been doing. Like, I've went through and I blocked everything U.S. political related. Like, it all got blocked.
Right.
But yeah, right. Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah, so I use Reader as my RSS reader, and I've subscribed to a bunch of websites and blogs that I really enjoy that have consistent content that come out, or, you know, maybe not consistent, but really good content that inconsistently comes out. If you want to have like a quick list of those things, you can find them over at my website. I'll put a link to it in show notes of like all the blogs and stuff that I like. I recommend all of them. They're all fantastic, consistent or not. They're all really good. That's why I made the list, Chris. So
who's at the top of that list, by the way?
You are, but I assure you, it's a note.
Number one. I'm just kidding.
I did that because I thought that it would make you stop talking, but apparently I have to put you down to the bottom.
I'm sorry. I just want to win. I just want to be on somebody's 30 under 30 list. That's it. Just want to be on a 30 under 30 list. I'm not asking for much.
Yeah. Okay. Finally, this is the final row before we get to the dot, Chris, and then we can finish up this episode. Settings makes sense. It's, you know, the settings app is you either have it on your home screen or you don't. It's just, it depends on what kind of person you are. Safari, that's pretty simple. I use Spotify over Apple Music, partly because I get it as part of a family thing that my parents pay for. And I've always used Spotify. I've used Spotify before Apple Music was a thing. And I just enjoy it, and it makes sense to me. And I don't listen to music a whole lot anyway, so it doesn't really justify me shelling out the coin to pay for Apple Music, because I don't listen to music a lot. I actually use the other app next to it, which is Overcast, which is where all the podcasts and stuff are. So that's what I use. Primarily, and that's like my number one podcast app of all time. So that row is pretty self-explanatory, I think. And now we're at the dock, Chris.
So I just want to apologize right now. Like, I feel so bad for you, and I'll let you explain what it is, but I feel bad for everyone that does this. I did it for a little while, but when it happened, I was like, okay, I'm over. It's I can't do that anymore. So I'll let you explain, but I just wanted to apologize up front because I do feel bad.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, iOS 13 came out and it ruined my dock. And I'm starting to learn to live with it. And some people seem to like it. Other people seem to hate it as much as I do.
It's not livable. Like, I can't.
I've been trying to think of, like, I think I might just put the Files app down here just because I'm tired of.
That was the one that I put down there to make it for.
So to clue you in iOS 12, if you had three apps or two apps, they would squeeze together and be dead center, regardless of how many apps they were. Now, with iOS 13, they now have a parameter where they basically say, okay, if you only have three apps, we're going to keep the spacing even wider. So now it looks like the dock has buck teeth, and or bad space teeth, depending. If you use two app icons, it makes it look like buck teeth. It looks awful. And I don't understand why this aesthetic was changed. I don't understand what the reasoning behind it was. I want explanations from somebody because I am.
You deserve it.
I demand it. Otherwise, they're banned from the podcast. So
you're unsubscribed.
Yep. So anyway, so while I'm doing this, I'm trying to find the Files app just so I can like move it over. Here it is. I'm literally just moving it down to the dock. So it'll be a before and after thing in the show notes now. So I. I put the files down there. But it basically like made this stupid spacing thing happen, and it's ruined everything for me because it just makes things look.
It looks bad. It looks really bad. It looks really, really bad. And it just, I used to use 3 apps down in the dock on my iPhone. I can't do it anymore. It just looks too bad, and I can't do it. So I'm surprised you're sticking with it. Honestly, like
I'm not anymore. Now that we talk about it,
it's honestly like it's aesthetically, it bothers me. And like here's the funny thing, like how it's spaced out, it doesn't even line up with like the spaces in between the apps on the home screen part. It would be fine. It feels like they just randomly picked a number for spacing.
No, it's a percentage. It's a percentage. So like if you think about it, like if you take a screenshot of 4 icons, 3 icons and 2 icons, all of them are basically like the leftmost icon is at the left at a specific point, and the rightmost icon is at a specific point, and then whatever is in between is where the spacing is, and it centers them between space. And that's how it works. Before, it was like, okay, you have a center icon, we're going to center those two up, or if you have an even number, the two icons in the center are going to be the ones that are, you know, between the two of them, the space between them is going to be dead center, and everything else is going to be kind of squished in between with like a handful of pixels between them, where it looks nice and pleasing and compact, but not squished. But now it's like, oh no, we're just going to use a percentage and parameter that basically like sets it to be a specific percentage away from the edges of the screen for the two left and rightmost icon, and then we're just going to have everything kind of fall in between automatically. It's awful, and I hate it. So I have changed it now that we've talked about it, Chris. So now my dock has files in the first app, which I think is self-explanatory now that we've talked about it.
Files is an important app to have. I mean, files does get a bad rap because it's very buggy, and rightfully so. It gets a bad rap because of that, but it's a very, very useful app to have around.
The way I think about it now is that since Safari has had a download manager, files as an app is actually way more important than before. If I'm downloading images and stuff like that or whatever.
You don't have an iPad anymore, though.
I don't, but when I use I can still download stuff on my phone with Safari.
Is the download manager? This is how much I use my phone. I don't even know if the download manager is on the iPhone. I thought it was just on the iPad.
Nope, I used it today to download a mixtape .zip file.
Okay. Compressed it and everything. Dropping some sick beats.
It's an old mixtape that I couldn't find anywhere else on like Spotify or...
Oh. Okay.
Whatever. So I just downloaded it and put it on an app called Bound. I'll put a link to it. It's basically like you just can put files on your Dropbox and you can import them via the Dropbox app and then play them through Bound, which is
fun. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's a cool app.
So the next app I have a question about. You said you didn't have anything. What's
this?
This
was after the conversation today. So and I haven't made this decision, but like I just have that one there.
Because
What is there. OmniFocus 3 is down there right now. And like I said before, I have no task management system. I have nothing in OmniFocus 3 right now. I also have nothing in Things 3. I have both of those apps on my phone, but OmniFocus 3 was just there as like a placeholder for whatever task manager I decide to use. So that's what OmniFocus 3 is there for. And, you know, we'll see what happens over time. After that is Drafts 5. Chris, that's down there because of you partially, and also because I think that Drafts 5 is the best solution. I think Drafts 5 is the best solution for me when it comes to like entering text and where text starts, which is basically the whole point of what Drafts 5 is about. So I have to, you know, kind of rebuild things from there and figure out if I want to send them somewhere else, where do I want to send them and why do I want to send them there? That's kind of my next step.
I didn't mention, but like everything I write starts in Drafts 5 and then gets moved to a text file or just whatever, like a message, an email. Everything starts in Drafts. Like it's so amazing. It deserves the it's just such an amazing app. Greg did such a great job with it. I love it. Yeah. Everyone gets mad at me when I mention it in a video. In fact, some people think Greg pays me, but he doesn't.
No.
They get mad at me because it's a subscription app, but I never have regretted paying that subription ever.
No,
it's
nor have I.
And I've gotten way... I wish I could give him more money. Greg, if you listen, or Tim, if you're listening, and you probably have Greg's number or something, tell him to implement a tip jar so I can give him more money.
Yeah, I've been wanting that too, because I think I would throw him a couple extra bucks when I get a fat check.
Absolutely, like I would absolutely throw a couple extra bucks his way. Like, yeah. I'm not even asking for extra icons or anything. Like, I would do it because I get so much out of it. It's so worth it to me.
Yeah, for sure. I kept my subscription even when I wasn't using the app, because I was like, Greg, you know, he deserves this. I got a lot out of it, and I'm sure I'll come back to it, which is the case. So yeah. I kept my subscription. Finally, I have messages. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Why do you use messages? I'm just kidding. Everyone uses messages. You got to be a blue bubble, right?
Yeah, messages is pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. Your home screen, it's pretty... I mean,
bland,
I don't want to say
annoying, boring,
basic, but I mean,
basic. Yeah,
you need some. You need some shortcuts, man. You need a shortcut page. You need an action page.
I don't understand. I don't think I don't know if you've noticed, Chris, but like I am basically a blank slate at this point when it comes.
You
to
You are. Like, you're like starting everything. Brand new. You're like
I'm like a new baby
ready to be molded. And yeah. I'm ready to corrupt you. I mean, craft you into my image.
I still have my own values and stuff, Chris. You can't get me out of the GTD world. You can't. You can't keep dunking on David Allen.
Like I said, I'm rereading the book now that I'm not listening to the audiobook. It's not as bad, but my biggest issue was with it is I was so sick and tired of hearing him plan his summering in France, and I was just like, oh my god, dude.
See,
I don't care
understand.
About summering in France. I just can't.
I don't remember anything about that in the book. Like, I'm not saying it's not there. It's just never one of those things that stuck.
Maybe it's not summering in France, but it was something like super obnoxious. And it was like him always talking about how all these CEOs he helped and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh my God.
It is a very businessy book at times.
And I have such a hard time with that because you know me. I'm the opposite of businessy. Like, I confess to you every, like, a couple of days ago, and I'm surprised you didn't bring it up, but that I wear skinny jeans and a black V-neck every single day. Like, I'm ready to go to a punk rock show every single
you
day.
You are the epitome of a silicone minimalist. That's what you are. You're like, that's...
I've been throwing stuff out, giving stuff away. Like, I am probably a one bad day away from just calling myself a minimalist. Like, I hate that word. It makes me want to, like... But I know because it has, like, a bad meaning. But, like, I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't need to keep buying crap. Like, I see people, like, just constantly buying stuff. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, everyone kept, people asked me, like, oh, what do you want for your birthday? And I'm like, I'm 29 now. I don't need anything. Like, if I really need something, I'll just go get it myself. Don't get me anything. Let's just go out to dinner. I think that just about does it, Jeff. We've kind of gone a little long, so I'm going to have some fun with this edit.
I can't wait for you to build your shortcut list and make sure that's up in time for this episode to come out.
I have to edit this, edit an iPad review, and do that. Oh, is this releasing on Friday?
It can. I mean, we can push it a week if you want.
We might have to push it a week. Right. We'll see. We'll see how much time I could get everything done.
We are getting it better. We are getting it closer and closer to back to every other week, guys.
Yeah, we're getting closer. So we're working on the recording schedule. Like, it's probably pretty obvious. Jeff moved all that stuff. He was busy. I was busy. I'm so sorry we were gone, but, you know, life sometimes gets in the way. It doesn't always find a way.
Well, it did, because we're recording again.
Now we are, but, you know, we weren't. Anyway, so sure. Anyways, let's wrap this thing up. You can find all my stuff at theuntitledsite.com. That's where my new, like, blot.im blog and all that stuff is. I'm going to try and have that shortcuts page up. So I will post as many, like, non-personal shortcuts on there. So basically shortcuts that basically aren't specific to me. So, like... the blot.im one post might actually be useful just for people. Like, I might make a generic one for that. So I'm going to try to make as useful as possible. There'll be a link to it. I'm not the first person to do it. Matthew Casanelli just made a really good one. We'll link to his as well. He has like 150 on there. I am not going to have 150. I don't know how many I'll have, but it won't be 150. I can guarantee you that. At least not right away. I'm just going to keep adding to it over time. But anyways, you can find my stuff at theuntitledsite.com. I'm on Twitter at Chris_Lolly. Jeff, where can people find you?
You can find me over at jeffperry.blog. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram if you want to follow my one photo a day challenge. I took a really good one today, Chris, of a flower that I'm going to post tomorrow.
Okay, cool. I was going to ask, are you going to post cat photos every single day?
I promise you it's not going to be cat photos all the time. I just can't go outside right now because of, like, there's certain things that are going on in my area where if I get bitten by a mosquito, it could cause life-threatening problems. So I don't really want to risk it by going outdoors a whole heck of a lot, especially like at night. I've been wanting to do a bunch of really fun night mode shots, but I literally can't because I just don't want to like risk, like it makes it sound like I'm in a tropical area where mosquito borne illnesses are much more common, but like there's eastern equine encephalitis going on right now in my area, which is like crazy.
I spent a summer in Africa, like trust me, I completely understand. That's not something you want to mess around with.
I did not know that about you. So anyway, it's a worry of mine that I don't really want to have to risk right now. But I promise you, it's not going to be just cats. I have a couple of like ideas and stuff in mind.
Because I was going to give you a hard time if it was just cats.
Nope. I want to do more portraits of people. Actually, that's my next thing, and then eventually like landscapes is something I want to do. But like, there's nothing really you can do around. But
I mean, you can always fly out here, and we'll drive up to Yosemite.
Sure. Yeah. Let me pull up my invisible credit card. We can do that way.
How'd you get an invisible one?
I know people.
Pretty cool.
But yeah. Anyway, I am Jeff Perry for both Twitter and Instagram. I am very happy to be back, Chris, to recording semi-regularly and getting things back on the ground as opposed to, you know, 6 weeks of nothing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been really supportive on this, and I want to say thank you to everyone there.
Yes.
And, you know, finally, if you are looking for the show notes, it's either in your podcast app of choice, or you can go to aslaboglass.com, and you can find all of our episodes there as well as all of our show notes as well. Chris, I think we are almost there when it comes to getting things on a regular schedule. So here's to hoping that we can get this out, a reasonably fast time, whether it be 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But let's hope that we can get back to an every other week schedule.
Yes.
Here in the future. I think that's the goal.
Smash that like button.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit that bell in the podcast app that you use.
Isn't a YouTube? Oh, sorry.
Mm-mm. Nope. I need to reprogram you.
I don't know.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.